Welcome everybody to Sunday Service. This is Pastor Kevin Tolliver Lyons with the Susan D. Lyons Foundation for Hope ministry called Fish for People. This is our discipleship series. Well, we're all about discipleship here. So it's not necessarily a series, but it's what we do. And what is that? Bringing people to God and following the blueprint that Jesus left us. So we're going to have a good time. We're going to get into all things of the Bible. We're going to break it down. We're going to tell you how it relates to life. So come on. Come to church. Well, welcome everybody to the Fish for People Sunday Service Podcast. Once again, I'm your host. My name is Pastor Kevin Tolliver Lyons with the Susan D. Lyons Foundation for Hope. And today's podcast is going to be a little different. Today, we're going to talk about my testimony and what that means and how I got here and what happened. So, let's see. Where do I even start? Well, I wasn't raised in a religious household at all. I was raised by a British mom and a British grandmother. And they were not religious. They came to this country in 1966. And religion was never really a big thing. So I had no need to pay attention to it. But in hindsight, after I've come to Christ and went back over my life to the near misses of catastrophes that could have happened, I realized that God was always there. So he had me saved for a specific reason only known to him. So raised in the Bronx, New York, born in Manhattan, and moved to the Bronx when I was about 4 or 5. And like I said, never really had a religious upbringing. You know, you heard of God, you heard of Jesus, but didn't pay any attention. I had friends who were, you know, Christian. Well, their parents were Christian, let's put it that way. And once in a while, we'd, you know, go to a Sunday school service or something to that effect. But nothing ever serious. Matter of fact, as I got older, I started being more and more against it. And a lot of conversations with me and my wife, you know, we'd get into arguments. And it was a very difficult thing to grasp. A lot of times you don't understand the things you don't understand, if that makes any sense. Because when it comes to God and Jesus, these are things that are beyond human capacity to think or beyond human capacity to truly understand. And that's where faith takes a major role in your life. Because I always compare faith to the carbon monoxide detector. And if you don't have one, and the carbon monoxide comes, you're not going to be around for too long. So having faith and understanding that that is what saves you, that's your saving grace, right? So let's see. So been through trials and tribulations. Grandfather passed in 93, and I was the one that had to make the decision to take him off of life support. Unfortunately, he was an alcoholic and diabetic, and those two things don't mix. And one day he went to a diabetic coma, and I had to be the one at 18 to sign the paperwork that would stop his heart, like a DNR, so to speak. Then let's fast forward to my grandmother's passing in 2008, and she was the one that raised me. So that was quite traumatic. And so certain series of traumatic events started to occur in my later adult life. Been in a few car accidents. One of the worst ones was when my ride share driver ran a stop sign that caused me to have two hip surgeries. And this was what? See, my daughter is 9, she was 2, so that was 7 years ago. And prior to that, shoulder surgeries, bunch of different injuries, right? So, these injuries tend to take a toll physically, mentally, emotionally, because you're in so much pain all the time that, you're angry. You can't do anything about it. Surgery's supposed to help, makes it worse, that kind of thing. So now fast forward to 2020. This is after the pandemic hit us really hard. And my mother-in-law was staying with us. She was going through kidney dialysis. But, they said she should be all right, get the kidney dialysis, clean the blood, this kind of thing. So she was staying with us for about 2 weeks. It was November 3rd of 2020, and it was her birthday. So I'm sitting on the couch, I'm talking to her, and making jokes about her rent. She's signing her rent check, and like I said, it's her birthday. So she says, "Go get the birthday cake." Okay, cool. So my daughter, who was, let's see, 2020, she's about 5 at the time, and my son, who was in his 20s. 20, early 20s. He was about, let's see, 20, 21. He was in the house. We go across the street, literally, it's about 2 minute drive. We go get the cake, we come back. My daughter is screaming, "Abuela." My wife is Cuban, and her mother's Cuban, hence, abuela, which means grandmother in Spanish. Apparently, she had a heart attack in the house. In my daughter's bed. So that took a definitive toll on the entire family. Because, abuela is abuela. She's the matriarch of the family. So, due to that, my daughter did not want to sleep in her room. So, I started sleeping in there. Now, maybe about a month later, I'm just sitting in the room. And you know how sometimes you can feel a presence, like you can feel when something's next to you? So I look to my right, and I kid you not, I'm not the type of person, like I said, I was an atheist, stone cold atheist. Didn't pay attention to Jesus, God, angels, demons, whatever. I wasn't paying no attention to it, I wasn't with it. But I felt something. So I looked to my right. I kid you not. My mother-in-law was sitting next to me. So, quite shocked. I wear glasses. So I did one of those things where you take off your glasses and you rub your eyes, right? To see, okay, maybe something's in my eyes, something's wrong. Okay, I'm not seeing what I'm seeing. So I'm rubbing my eyes, put my glasses back on, and look back over. She's still sitting there. And she says, "Kevin, I need you to go to church and take care of my babies." And that was it. She was gone. Well, talk about scared to death, but not scared enough to not listen to what I was told. I have a good friend, a friend of my wife's named Danielle, and I knew she was a Christian. I called her up. And was like, "How do I get to church? How do I get to your church? How do I get to any church?" So shocked as she was, because she's known me for quite a while up to this point, more than 10 years. She's like, "You want to go where?" I didn't even tell my wife, because if I told my wife this story, she would have just lost it, right? "You saw my mother." "What? No." So I didn't even tell her until maybe a couple days after I spoke to Danielle and she gave me all the information about the church. So now I'm gonna tell my wife. I'm like, "Hey, honey, let's go to church Sunday." Well, if you wanna see a look of surprise like you've never seen, you tell the wife of an atheist that you wanna go to church, and see what happens. She was quite shocked. And then I had to break down to her why I want to go to church. So she's, you know, she's still hesitant and shocked that I even brought this up. So we started attending church, a local church here in South Florida. And, you know, as you attend church, you start meeting other people, you know, you start paying attention to the message. Well, if you're really serious about, you know, going to church and actually learning about the Word of God and learning about Jesus, because if I do something, I'm not doing it just for the sake of doing it, right? I want to know what this is all about. So the more I learned, started to pique my interest more. And when something piques my interest, I got to get over it. I have to get on top of it. I have to understand it fully. You know what I mean? I don't want to understand it. I want to overstand it. So I got my Bible. I'm listening to the Word. And every night, I'm just going in the Bible. I'm like, you know, Google, what's this mean? Or, you know, I have ChatGPT, which is a great way to gain information. A little better than Google, even. So, you know, what's the New Testament? What's the Old Testament? What's the difference between Jesus and God? What's this? What's that? What's this? What's that? And I'm asking all these questions. But now I'm starting to get a handle on it. I'm like, oh, okay, so this means this, and that means that, and this is that, and that's that. It's like, wow. And then I saw a video by Tim Mackey of the Bible Project. And he broke down in a 30-minute video the difference, not the difference, but what other people think, Christians think. So it's what the general population think Christians believe about their faith. So in terms of this is what heaven means, this is what hell means. And it was extremely enlightening. And it opened my eyes to the reality of what those things mean. Because at the end of the day, you think heaven is harps and angels, and hell is, you know, Satan and fire and lava and that whole thing. Pitchfork and horns and the red guy, that whole bit. And when I found out that that's not actually the case, it was a game changer. For me, anyway. Because a lot of people use, you know, heaven and hell as, okay, you're going to hell. You're, you know, oh, hope you go to heaven, this kind of thing. Okay, but where are these places? Where do they reside? How do you get there? What are the qualifications to get there? Can you stay there? So I went through that whole process and diligently studied, right? Then a member of the church, who is now, might as well be family at this point, invited me to her Bible study. And she had told me about it previously. But, you know, as a new Christian, you don't think, you know, you're ready. And as far as I was concerned, being such a staunch atheist, I'm like, no, there's no way I'm doing Bible study. That I'm not that guy. But something kept nagging at me. And now I'm learning that's the Holy Spirit. So when God talks, to me at least, he talks loud, right? He don't just give you hints. He just slaps you. So I keep getting slapped. The Bible study. And this Bible study is called Golden Voice Devotions. And it's hosted by Tarsus Urelli and her husband, Jared Urelli. So it just kept nagging me. I'm like, okay. I said, okay, let me go one night and try it. So I go to this Bible study. It was an hour on a Thursday night. And for the first session, it wasn't bad at all. I'm like, okay, you know, this ain't too bad. There's only a few of us, maybe five or six. So now that you're on this, and it was by Zoom. So it was a Zoom Bible study. So you know how they have little squares, right? I don't know if you remember, I'm dating myself, but there was a show called Hollywood Squares. And you'd have a square, and inside this big square is a bunch of other squares. That's what Zoom was, and that's what our Zoom meetings were. So you start getting to know people. They start speaking the word. They start praying. And you start getting comfortable now in your own skin being a Christian. At least I did. So I'm attending these Bible studies for over a year. And now, like I said, I'm getting the hang of it. So I'm understanding it. I'm doing the work. I'm doing the research. I'm like, okay, what does this mean? I want to be ready for the next Bible study. So as, these Bible studies went on, I got really good at discerning the word and trying to make it relevant to what, we go through on an everyday basis. To the point where other people started telling me it was a gift that I had. But I ignored that too, because it's like, okay, wait a minute. I'm the atheist, or I was the atheist, right? Now, mind you, I got saved at this church. So after we started attending, become a member, and got baptized. So, fast forward, baptized. Now I'm doing Bible study, getting good at it. And then, we have our group chat in WhatsApp. And we're always, supporting each other, praying for each other, and just generally supporting each other as Christians. And one day Tarsus goes, "Wow, Pastor Kevin." And those two words just shook me to the core. And I'm looking at the words, and I'm like, "Does that say Pastor Kevin?" And I'm like, "No." So I said, "What do you mean, Pastor Kevin?" And, she proceeds to explain that she feels that it's a gift, and, I know what I'm talking about, and I'm really good at it. And I'm just like, is she really talking about me? But then the Holy Spirit started taking over at this point. And it was like God's message saying, this is what you're supposed to do. I don't call the qualified, I qualify the called. And that's exactly what happened. So now she goes, "What do you think about leading Bible study for our next series?" And it was a book on Priscilla Shire. And shook me to my core again. Like, am I this good for them to believe that I can do this? So then, as you start reading scripture and you realize that God's in control, this has nothing to do with me. This is not about my ego. This is not about vanity. And it's like, okay, well, if God says I'm good enough, well then let's see where this goes. Let's give it a shot. So as I start leading this Bible study, now if you're going to lead Bible study, you're going to have to know what you're talking about. So that forces you to do the research and do the work, right? So I'm doing the work, and I look into specific chapters and I'm breaking it down. And as I'm doing this, you start getting one with what you're doing. You start getting comfortable, and then you start seeing, okay, you start creating lesson plans, and now you're really going to dive deep. What does this mean? Why does that mean that? Okay, well, if that means that, and that means that, and okay, well, I can break that down. And so you start to discern the word. And so now the Holy Spirit is like, this is your calling. So as she started saying, you're a pastor, you're good at this, the Holy Spirit started putting on me, research that. What does it take to be a pastor? So now I'm going to take this deep dive down this rabbit hole. So I start doing the research and just different organizations. So the first thing I joined was as an ordained minister to do weddings. And didn't even tell my wife till maybe 3 months later. I'm like, guess what? I'm a pastor. I'm a minister. I could do weddings. It was almost like a joke. It was like, ha ha ha. She's like, yeah, okay, but don't decide to start doing weddings. So it was like an inside the house joke. Okay, yeah, you're a minister, whatever. And it wasn't serious. And then, I started doing more research, seeing different organizations, and there was one called the National Association of Christian Ministers. And they ordain you online. But mind you, it's not just, fly by night, sign your name, you're done kind of thing. No. They want to know if it's truly a calling. So there's questionnaires, they want paperwork, they want your story. And all of this stuff needs to be lined up and legit, because they're not just going to ordain you to be a pastor. If that's not your calling, if you have no idea what you're talking about, what's your story? So I went through the whole process to drop my story. This is what happened to my mother-in-law. This is what I saw. I was an atheist. This is what God said. Here I am. So, surprising enough to me, I was accepted, and not everybody is accepted. You got to do what you got to do to get there. So now, I get the paperwork. I'm a pastor. Now, I have my own non-for-profit organization, which I started in my mother's name because, as you know, my mother committed suicide. Now, my mother committed suicide in, what year was this? 2014. And I started my foundation in 2017. But when I started it, it was more or less to help people with their mental health. I'm like, if I can help somebody with their mental health, one person, that's what this foundation can be. So now, I'm going to church and I still have this foundation, but I can't really find an angle to work it. So it's like we did art therapy for seniors in two separate community centers over a course of a couple years. And at the first location, which was in Hollywood, Florida, and it was right on the beach, the Hollywood Beach Community Center. We did that for about a year. Got about, minimal people show up. Not a lot of people showed up. But, the few that did, it seemed to have an effect. Then we bought a house and we moved to a different area called Pembroke Pines. So I decided to join their community center and bring the program there. This was going to be called Painting on the Beach, right? So we start doing art therapy now with the seniors, and we got about 20, 25 seniors. It's going great. They're doing paintings, and we had some great inspirational stories. There was one senior who didn't even talk, and we had a language barrier, but he understood the assignment, right? So on the first day, he painted a line, and that was it. By the time he got out of there, he was almost Picasso. He was painting entire scenes, this, that, and other. So it was a success. I paid for the canvases myself. Everything was free, beautiful. But then the pandemic hit. So now, this is post-pandemic, like 2021. I'm trying to figure out what to do with the foundation. Now that I'm, a Christian, I'm saved, it hit me. There's nothing that can help people that really want to end their lives unless they have God. It's going to take God. It's going to take knowing Jesus to really change somebody's life. And that's what I felt, and that's what God was calling me to. So, without a second thought, everything about the foundation shifted. Now it became discipleship. And what I saw is there a woman named Jenny Allen, and she's a I want to call her a pastor or an evangelist, but she has her own organization and she does conferences and she's a public speaker. So I saw her going to college campuses. And this particular day, University of Auburn, Auburn University, and a bunch of college students that night decided to get baptized. It was extremely uplifting and motivating to see these young kids believe in Jesus and take the necessary steps to be baptized in a public setting on a campus. And to me, that was like, okay, there's a future here. These kids get it. And for me, that's when it clicked. The Holy Spirit said discipleship. Now, if I can tell other people what I've experienced coming from being an, a total atheist to now being a pastor. It's, it was one of those kind of things. So now, Susan D. Lyons Foundation for Hope has turned into a ministry, right? So I'm like, okay, well, what am I supposed to do, God? Give me the signs. Talk to me. Let's talk. So it was like, okay, well, how am I going to do discipleship? We got YouTube, there's podcasts, there's all types of avenues. So I started with YouTube. And I started doing a weekly video about discipleship. And, okay, this is what Sermon on the Mount was. Jesus was, creating this miracle. He did that. And so it was a 12-week discipleship course on YouTube, which you can go to because it's currently there. And then I started, on top of that, a Wednesday word of the day. Right? So now I'm doing a Wednesday word of the day. I'm doing a weekly video, which dropped on a Monday. Then there's another organization that I'm working with called Disciplers International, and they're into discipling. So I saw them online, and it's run by a great, great guy named Bart Fisiak, who happened to be the chaplain for one of the branches of the U.S. Armed Services for over 40 years. So he knows what he's talking about. So I held on to him like a mentor. So I started asking him questions. Okay, what's this? How's that? What does that work? And me and him started having dialogue. And now we're working together to try to have our organizations work with each other. Okay. So that's that. So now, I'm still attending Bible study. Now we're going to a different church. And we left the other church just because once I became a pastor, the prior pastor, for whatever reason, wasn't feeling the fact that I was a pastor. He said, we do things a certain way, and it won't be recognized here. So that's, took me by surprise a little bit, because it's like, okay, well, you're a pastor, you're supposed to promote people. Having a ministry, coming to God, whatever the case is, you're supposed to promote this, or at least explain why you don't want to. So, with that being said, I was like, okay, this is, maybe this is God telling me I need to move on. So we started searching for another church and found one called History Makers, run by fantastic pastors, Emma and Terrence Mullings, and they're from Australia. Newly here to South Florida since maybe 2020, and to see what these folks have done in the few years that they've started. Like, this past Easter was only their second Easter service, right? So to see what they've done with their worship team, to see what they've done with their support staff, to see what they're doing with two and with their parishioners, it's just truly amazing to me. They had a program called Destiny Steps, which, if you're in South Florida, I think you should come check out History Makers Church. They actually help you figure out your calling from God. And that was another eye opener for me. Because it seemed that when I went through the process, the gifts that I was given by God were faith, knowledge, and the ability to teach. So, that was shocking in itself, that a gift that God gave me was faith. And that was always my problem. So now he's saying that that's my strength. So that just made me just feel even better about the whole process. It's like, that's a true gift. You're an atheist, and now you've come to God, you have a relationship with Jesus. Okay, you get it. Okay, Jesus left the blueprint, and God is the omnipresent. He's the light, the truth, the way. He's everything, right? And once you understand that, it's like, it's mind blowing. So, you were atheist, now you come to God, and now we're at this church, and these are my gifts: faith, knowledge, and teaching. So now that I'm, okay, now I know my gifts. So, as you pray, you thank God. Okay, thank you, God. This is what you gave me. What do you want me to do with these gifts now, right? So, mind you, having meetings all week. I meet with Bart. I'm doing the Monday's word of the day. I mean, I'm doing one Monday's video, which is a 12-week process. So once a week, that's 4 months, right? So I'm doing that. You have to plan for that, right? Okay, you got to get the video ready. Okay, what's the subject going to be? Okay, how am I going to do it? This, that, and other. Then you had the Wednesday word of the day. Okay, what's that going to be? Okay, a scripture of the day. What's that going to be? Break it down. And it got overwhelming, right? It was like, okay, I'm doing this video. And I heard God very loudly telling me, slow it down. And it was like, okay, you need to find a one focus because I'm scattered way too much, doing too much. So when the Holy Spirit speaks, it speaks loud. So all of a sudden I used to do a podcast in the past, previously with my foundation. So I knew about podcasts. I knew about the platform. I knew how it worked, but I hadn't done one quite a while and wasn't thinking about it when it came to this. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit started sending me stuff about podcasts out of nowhere. All of a sudden, my algorithm had podcasts. All of a sudden, I go out in the street, there's a podcast thing on a truck, or you start seeing signs and you start seeing them everywhere. It's like, what's with this podcast thing? So I went back into my old account. I'm like, you know what? Maybe I should just focus on one thing, the podcast. So hence, here we are with the podcast. But once I was doing the video, I was doing my videos, and my wife even told me, she's like, you know what? Nobody's really, really going to pay attention if they don't know your story. And my thing was, well, it's not about me, it's about God. Great, but the story of you being an atheist so staunchly and so adamantly, now you've come to God, relationship with Jesus, got saved, baptized, and now you're a pastor. And all of this happened over a course of maybe 2 years. It was shocking. I mean, my wife's still shocked. She loves the new me. She thinks, it's the greatest thing ever because she grew up Catholic. So she knew all the stories about the Bible, but who was she going to talk to about it? To an atheist. So now that we attend church every Sunday, we attend the events of the church, we know the pastors, we're starting to get comfortable in our new church, which we've been to since Christmas service. And like I said, if you want to check them out, go to History Makers Church on YouTube and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about because these pastors are fantastic at breaking down the word. So I don't pastor a church. I pastor through my 501c3 not-for-profit, but I pastor the word. So what I want to do is I want to kind of give you guys an insight into what this book is about, the Bible. And so to help you can watch The Chosen, which is you can find on YouTube, you can find on the Angel Network, it's everywhere at this point. So they're up to season three, or I should say up to season four. They're getting ready to drop season four, which is in the movie theaters now. But season one through three, which is about the New Testament and Jesus's ministry, watch that because it gives you, obviously you weren't there 2,000 years ago. So it might be difficult to kind of recreate, but based on all the historical information and, historical texts and historians and theologians, they did the work to find out if they can make it as accurate as humanly possible. Check out The Chosen. Then, after that, what just dropped on Netflix was The Story of Moses, which I never knew. And just, it's a four-episode miniseries. Fantastic. It breaks down Moses' story and, how he ended up writing the Ten Commandments and the parting of the Red Sea and freeing his people from Egypt. Fascinating, fascinating stories. But these are just some of the things that can give you an idea of how powerful the stories in the Bible are. And you can make them relevant in your life today. Because, like they said, God is the same yesterday, today, and will be the same tomorrow. He doesn't change. So that's why we say we live in a kingdom, which is different than the secular world, right? So in the secular world, everybody does what they want. There's no rules. As a Christian, you have a specific path to follow, especially if God places it on your heart and God says, okay, this is what you're supposed to do. Now, if you choose not to do it, that's up to you, but consequences, repercussions, that type of thing, those things happen. And, found out, once we learned about the armor of God, which Priscilla Shearer wrote a book about, which is she's the daughter of Tony Evans, who's been, a pastor for over 40 years. Her book on the armor of God, it breaks down what you need for spiritual protection. But the eye-opener was that prayer unlocks those pieces of armor, right? So you have all the armor in the world, but if you don't have solid prayer, none of the armor is going to work. So that became my wheelhouse. So discipleship and prayer. And so currently I'm on the History Makers Church prayer team because I feel that, praying for somebody else and having a handle or a direct line to God, that's one of the more powerful things that you can do for somebody is to pray for them and pray for them earnestly, like seriously pray to God for whatever that person needs, requests, needs to get by. And so that's been my journey. And, I'm going to be, 52 in November. And this all happened when I was 49. So it's not too late. When God calls, you better pick up on the first ring. That's all I can tell you because my entire life changed. It got to a point where between my grandmother who raised me passed, my mother committing suicide, my mother-in-law's passing in my home on her birthday. All these things on top of, car accidents and two hip surgeries, shoulder surgeries, multiple torn ligaments that could not have surgery, but, so the pain's there, frozen shoulders, you name it, I've had it. And it got to the point where I just couldn't manage anymore. It was getting to the point, it was like, why am I here? It's like, I can't do this. It was truly the last straw. And when you get to that point, you got to make a decision on how you're going to fix it. And for the first time in my life, I said, okay, I kept hearing, let go and let God, let Jesus take the wheel. And I'm like, okay, so if that's what this is about, here you go. So what am I supposed to do? Give you all my problems and let you deal with them? Here, you take them. I don't want them. Let's work this out together. And when I figured that out, I just surrendered. I said, okay, if this is what we're gonna do, this is what we're gonna do. And I just gave a death to myself, so to speak. I had no ego. I had no, no ego, pretty much. And it was like, okay, God, this is how we're gonna work this. It's yours. And from that moment, I decided that this was going to be my life. Believe in Jesus Christ, believe in God and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, the Triune, as they say. And when you fully have faith and believe in these things, life changes. It becomes a totally different ball game because I kept thinking I can do it on my own. I got this. Me, I. And it was never, anybody higher than me. Oh, it's my life. I could take care of this. I got this. Till I realized, guess what? I can't. And I couldn't. So that's when I decided to literally give my life to God. And since then, it's been fantastic. My marriage has been better. My daughter, who's now 9, she's starting to understand it and read the Bible, and she's starting to figure out how it works in her life. And my wife is thrilled. So at the end of the day, for me, it's been one of the greatest, if not the greatest decision I've ever made. Next to marrying my wife, and God probably gave her to me too. So, all things through God, right? But that's my story, guys. This is my testimony. I was a stone cold member of the Atheist Club. If I could have been the president, I'd have been the president of the Atheist Club. And I had tried other things for years. My father had sent me a book about Buddhism and the Dalai Lama and anger maybe 10 years prior. So this is almost a 10-year journey of trying other things. So I tried Buddhism, I tried different types of Buddhism. I tried to meditate and incense and sit there and cross my legs and did that for a couple of years till I realized this ain't working. This is too hard. It was too physically hard. Like, you can't just sit there for hours. I had back problems, people. Like, I'm not sitting there for hours. My back will go, I can't even get back up. You know what I'm saying? So it was like, okay, this ain't working. So the great thing about being a Christian is you're saved by grace through faith. I don't have to sit down and chant, because they had you chanting, specific words, and they had gods, and there's thousands of them. It was like, wait a minute, this makes no sense. How can I pray to thousands of gods? And it was like, wait a minute, this just don't make sense. So, I had done Buddhism and I tried everything. And then I realized, okay, there's only one. There's only God. And you can't get to God unless you come through Jesus first. So, like I say in my Instagram bio, helping people meet God, and Jesus does the intros. Because that's literally how it is. You can't get to God without Jesus. And so, that's been my life from 49, and I'll be 52 in November. And I've just been in the Word since, reading the Bible, and then reading different variations of the Bible in terms of, okay, the New International Version, the NLT version, the NIV version. There's multiple versions that have different wordings. Then I'm like, okay, well, which is the best wording? So now you start getting into details. And like I said, as you get mature in your walk with Christ, you're gonna learn. Now, don't get intimidated, because you can't expect to learn the entire Bible and be proficient at it in, weeks, days, weeks, months, or years. It's a lifetime of learning. It's the journey. So don't ever feel that you're intimidated, or you can't do it, or you'll never be enough, or you don't have enough. Because like I said, God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the ones he calls. And when you get to the point where you can't do it anymore, you'll get to a point where you're like, okay, it's either God or nothing at all. And when you start taking that walk, you'll understand the journey that I was on. Because, it's one thing to always know about God growing up and following Jesus. But I feel the ones that didn't and then come to him are the ones that really get it. Like, you have to go through some serious, serious adversity as an atheist to then have to come to God. Because that's a total 180, or a 360, I should say. That's shocking. And like I said, I was a total unbeliever. I'm like, oh, okay, you can pray for me, sure. I didn't get it. I didn't want to. But now I see. And as I look back on my life, it's like God saved me from a lot of things that I'm not supposed to be here to, even talking to you guys. I almost got shot in the head by a friend at a house. He had his gun, and teenagers wind up in some predicaments that, you never know how they're gonna wind up. Wrong place, wrong time type of situation. But I was within less than inches of my life being taken away. And I'm like, God saved me there. Well, why? I've been in car accidents, near-death experiences. Why? And now here I am, right? Okay, well, God came and got me. And he gave me gifts of faith, knowledge, and the ability to teach those two things. Having faith and the knowledge of the Bible. And people, it's a book. But it will give you a sense of stability and a purpose in your life that only the Bible can give you. And I say that with the most sincerity, because the world now is getting worse. It's not getting better. And the whole purpose, when they say, Jesus is coming back, or God wants to bless his people, because he wants us all to get along, like every last one of us, for the common good of each other. And you can't do that when there's racism, bigotry, war, prejudice, famine, all of these things. If we don't come together as a species, as a human race under one God, and we all understand who that God is, we'll never reach the promised land. And if you see the story of Moses, he led his people out of Egypt, but he never made it to the promised land. But I'll just leave that in the back of your mind. Well, why didn't he? Go on Netflix, check it out. And then when you see the story on Netflix, now you open up your Bible. Now you have something to go by. Okay, oh, I saw this story. It was a 4-episode story on Moses. It was fantastic. Okay, what does the Bible say? And now it's piquing your interest. Same thing with the Chosen in the New Testament. It gives you everything. But now it's going to make you hungrier for more. Well, what's this guy? And it made me love the apostles. Like, I fell in love with the apostles through the Chosen. And I have a newfound respect for Moses through watching the movie on Netflix. And it wasn't the Charlton Heston version. It was an updated version, a new version, so to speak. But it was done exceptionally well. It was as historically accurate as I guess it could be. And obviously, everything's not going to be accurate. And you'll have your theologians and your historians say, okay, well, this was wrong, that was wrong, this is off, that's off. But if you watch it, it gives you a baseline of information and knowledge where now you can go to the Bible and you can say, okay, now I see what was wrong. Because if you don't look at the Bible, you don't really know what was wrong about what you just saw. You just take it as fact. And when it comes to the Bible and being a Christian, you cannot take anybody's word for anything, because anything that has to do with being a Christian is in one place, and that's the Bible. So you're gonna have pastors and preachers and people on YouTube and TikTok and Facebook and everywhere else saying, God said this, or he meant that, or this is that, and this is that, and this is right, and this is wrong. No. No. Go find out for yourself. Don't even listen to what I'm telling you as fact. Go into the Bible, and that's where it is. That's where all the truth is. God said he is the way, the truth, and light. And until you understand that, you won't understand it. There's only one way to go, and that path is narrow. The door to get through is narrow. But like I was talking in our Bible study this week, it's like being on a seesaw. We're always going to sin. It's inevitable. It's the way life was built. But how do you recalibrate yourself to repent for your sin and to try not to do that sin anymore? That's where the beauty lies. That's the journey. It's like working out. You're not going to get on the bike on an elliptical machine or a treadmill, and you're gonna gain 10 years of workout experience in 10 minutes. It doesn't work that way, and you know it. You got to put the work in. But this is, spiritual work. And you could work on yourself. And trust me, your life will change. Now, mind you, you'll have a lot of friends that think something's wrong with you, and they won't talk to you no more. But then, the beauty is you're going to gain new friends, and these new friends will be anointed, and these new friends will be God-led, and they'll understand the Bible, and they'll understand their journey, your journey, their purpose, life's purpose, and you'll all get stronger together. And now you're building a circle that's strong. So that's my advice. Don't take my word for it. Open up the Bible. Listen to some of the videos that I did. But let that lead you back to God. Let that lead you back to Jesus. It has nothing to do with me. I've given up all ego. It's not about me. It's just coming through me, right? So I want you to have the peace and the knowledge and the understanding of following the blueprint that Jesus left and then taking your cares to God. Because at the end of the day, that's the only thing we got. And you need something to hold on to in this world, because this world is slipping fast. So if you can find your relationship with God and you can make it right with him, you'll see that your world is going to get so much better. And that's the truth. So I'd like to thank you for stopping by and listening to my testimony. And if you want to drop your testimony, shoot me an email. I'll let you come on the podcast and tell me your testimony. How did God come and get you? And what is he doing through you? Because at the end of the day, we're here to serve. We're going to serve others, and God's going to work through us to help others. So drop me a line, an email, on Instagram, Facebook, and every once in a while I'll drop a YouTube video. But I think I'm going to keep it to the podcast for now, at least until, God says otherwise. Because at the end of the day, he's the only one that should matter. That's the one you listen to. So thank you for joining me on this extremely special testimony podcast or testimony episode of the podcast. And this is the Fish for People Sunday Service Podcast, hosted by me, Pastor Kevin Tolliver Lyons of the Susan D. Lyons Foundation for Hope Ministries. And actually, tomorrow, I'm getting baptized again because I'm with a new church family. And, I want to do it right there because, last place I was left a little funny taste in my mouth. And I want to support my new church family. And yes, this will be the last time I'm getting baptized, but there'll be video, there'll be pictures, and on the next episode, I'll tell you how it went. So come on back and take this journey with me because it's fun. You see how an atheist became saved and became a member of God's spiritual army, right? So thank you for listening. God bless. And we'll end this episode with a prayer. Let's bow our heads. Father God, we want to thank you for all that you do. Thank you for blessing us with your wisdom. Thank you for blessing us with your vision for our lives. And to anybody that's hearing this under the sound of my voice, may you be blessed and may God put a hedge of protection over you and your family, and that you may come to God, that you may come to Jesus and realize that he is the light, the truth, and the way. So thank you, Father God, for all that you do. And amen in the name of Jesus Christ. So until next time, guys, God bless. Have a safe week. And like I said, I hope God blesses you in your life. And if you have any stories of your testimony, like I said, drop them on this podcast. Let the world know how God's changed you, because I've just let you know how God changed me. Good night, and God bless. Until next week on the Fish for People Sunday Service Podcast with your host, Pastor Kevin Tolliver Lyons.